Turn with me in your Bible to in the Pew Bible, it's page 540. It's Proverbs 18 this morning. Book of Proverbs, we continue our study of real wisdom for the real world out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verses 1 through 8. I'd like to read the verses together and then we'll pray. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 1 through 8 says this. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. When wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. It is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the righteous of justice. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Let's pray together. Father, as we study your word this morning, as we read, as we consider these things together, I pray that you'd open our eyes, as we talked about in Sunday school. Open our eyes so that we can see these marvelous things in your word. Unite our hearts to fear your name. Father, show us here what it means for a foolish mouth to ruin us. For Father, show us what it means here to live and to speak with the words that come from knowing Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that you've promised that we ask, you'll give us wisdom. When we ask, you'll open our eyes. So I pray that you would strengthen us to hear and to take in and to live by this word this morning. We pray all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the past couple of weeks, we have been witness to some of the most remarkable political spectacles in all of American history, haven't we? It has been a crazy few weeks and months when you watch American politics, from the impeachment of the president by the House of Representatives in December and the president's acquittal in February, just hours after a State of the Union address that was marked by remarkable breaches of decorum and pettiness on both sides, which itself came just a day after the utter collapse of the political caucus in Iowa. It has been a fascinating time to watch the political national landscape. Like one commentator said, it's like watching a helicopter try to land sideways. It's just a mess, just blowing up everywhere. And what I think is remarkable as we watch all of this is that when you turn to Proverbs 18, you hear all of that, don't you? In those verses that we just read, everything we've just been watching take place on the national political landscape, it's all here. The high-handed arrogance, the refusal to listen to an opposing side, the self-serving, immature tweet storms, the perverting justice by leaking juicy details about a political enemy, contempt for people and processes, partiality to the wicked, arguments that devolve into screaming matches, gossip, and on it goes. And when you read these eight verses, it's like Solomon had some kind of crystal ball and he could watch CNN and then sit down and write these verses. Right? A fool, whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expressing his opinion. That's every news talk show on TV right now, isn't it? They take no pleasure in understanding. They just want to scream louder than the other side. And everything, I mean, it's like that everywhere. From the highest political offices right on down through society. God's living an active and authoritative word speaks into all this foolishness with singular clarity and power. And what it says is clear. Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are a snare to his soul. The warning here in Proverbs 18 is clear as day. A foolish mouth will ruin you. A foolish mouth will ruin you. And if you doubt whether that's true, just watch the political news these days and you're seeing the self-destruction of political parties right now, aren't you? You really are. But aside from what we must not do at a time like this, just between you and me, I really believe that the Democrat Party is getting a good old-fashioned butt-whooping from God right now. Really. But our response is not to be, ha, those guys are really getting it over there. Because why not? This is like two brothers who have both been getting into their dad's cigars, and dad comes home and finds one of them, and he gives him a beating. The other brother shouldn't be there going, ha, ha, you're in trouble, right? Because who's next? So don't you look at this, what's going on now, because I believe what's going on now is exactly what Proverbs 18 says. But our response is not to be, oh, they're really getting it, because you and I are just as guilty. And we should be looking like my brother's getting it and I'm next. Because God means what he says. God carries out all of his promises. And when he promises a fool's lips will destroy him, that goes for everybody on both sides of the political aisle, whether it's a red state or a blue state, whether it's this or that, whatever the party, whatever the divide, God keeps his promises. It is appropriate for us to look at God's word to help us understand the foolishness of the world around us, but it's a lot more foolish to look into the mirror of God's word and then ignore what these verses show us about ourselves. So as much as we can see, 2020 politics in these verses, we need to take some time and look at what do these verses say about us? What do these verses say about the way my lips work? So first, there are three things here, I think, in Proverbs 18. The first is your foolish mouth will ruin you because you will isolate yourself. Your foolish mouth will ruin you because you isolate yourself. Look at verses 1 through 3 again. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment, takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. When wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace. Now, we touched last week on the characteristics of foolishness. Foolishness doesn't want to listen and learn. It only wants to speak and be heard. These verses expand on that attitude and show that the effect of that unwillingness to listen, when you won't listen to anybody, you become isolated. It sets you on the shelf. You don't engage with others because you don't think they have anything worthwhile to say to you. I don't want to listen to them. I'm going to tell them what I think. The phrase seeks his own desire here is actually kind of hard to translate, but the idea seems to be like of a self-centered person that doesn't want to listen to anybody's opinion but his own. And one of the results of that kind of foolish heart is it causes you to ignore sound judgment. When you won't listen to anybody, you'll ignore sound judgment. Instead of listening and learning from others, you only want to force your own opinions on everyone around you. Your foolish mouth will keep running so you don't have to listen and interact. It's the proverbial echo chamber that you talk about in social media circles today. Everybody loudly and constantly voicing their own opinions and then shouting down anyone who tries to inject any common sense into the discussion. Breaking out against all sound judgment. A foolish mouth keeps running so that it doesn't ever have to listen. It can ignore sound judgment. And that leads to, verse 3, contempt from other people. When you have a mouth that keeps running and you ignore sound judgment over and over, eventually that brings contempt from other people. Wickedness comes, contempt comes also. You isolate yourself from sound judgment and nobody has anything to tell you because you know everything. Eventually, people start seeing you for what you are, don't they? Eventually, people realize that you're an arrogant, conceited know-it-all. Nobody wants to see coming. Nobody wants to engage with. And what happens? They're like, I'm not talking to you. Do you know people like that? You don't even want to see them coming. I don't even want to deal with them because they won't listen to anything. You don't have any time for them. You see, when wickedness comes, contempt comes also with disgrace and dishonor. See, those kind of people wind up isolated. They've burned all their bridges. They've destroyed any chance of anybody wanting to engage with them. God means what he says. God's word is true. A foolish mouth will ruin you. You'll isolate yourself. And secondly, it says in verse 5, a foolish mouth will ruin you because you'll pervert justice. Look at verse 5. It says, it's not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the righteous of justice. We see that theme over and over in Proverbs. This verse warns us of two specific behaviors we're to avoid. First, do not use our mouths to be partial to the wicked. Do not use your mouth to be partial to the wicked. Proverbs 28:21 says the same thing. To show partiality is not good, but it says, for a piece of bread, a man will do wrong. The idea here is of lying because you can get something out of it for somebody. The idea here is, your supervisor comes to you at work and says, hey, listen, if they ask you if I was on the loading dock yesterday around 3 o'clock, you just tell them you don't know, and I'll give you that weekend off you've been looking for. Do you see what I'm talking about? You understand the dynamic I'm talking about? Somebody says, hey, you know what? Cover up for me, and I'll make it worth your while. Have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever had somebody approach you that wants you to do that? See, when you do that, when you show partiality by lying to cover up somebody else's wickedness, that foolish mouth will cost you, won't it? Proverbs 19:5 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. When you want to cover up for somebody else's wickedness because you can get something out of it, for a piece of bread a man will lie, it's going to destroy you. That'll ruin you. Not only when your foolish mouth shows partiality to the wicked, but eventually, what will happen? Eventually, you will be biased against the righteous. It won't just be covering up for the wicked. You will actually go to bat for that team. Sin does not stop with just the first step. If you start off covering up for someone to get something out of their wickedness, eventually, that will morph into you actively working against the innocent. Shading the truth in order to favor the wicked. The word righteous here in the Old Testament refers to somebody who is faithful to obey the law of God. They want to be honest. They want to be faithful to God's word. That's what it means when it's talking about when it says there in verse 5, depriving the righteous of justice. It's referring to the people who say, no, God has spoken and I'm going to be faithful. In our day, it's the cake bakers, it's the photographers, it's the floral arrangers, it's the people who are being kicked out of their jobs because they will not defend the wickedness of people who want to pervert God's design for marriage. And they're being deprived of justice. They're being driven out of their jobs. They're being threatened because, you see, a foolish mouth will not just ruin you when it makes you be partial to the wicked, but that destruction comes as people are biased against the righteous as well. And Psalm 101 verse 5 says that God will not allow that slander to stand. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. A foolish mouth will ruin you. It will ruin you when you show partiality to the wicked. It will ruin you as you begin to show favoritism against the righteous. You'll isolate yourself. You'll pervert justice. And the third warning is you will commit gossip. Look at verse 8. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Now, I realize that this isn't typically the way we talk about gossip as something we commit. We usually talk about spreading gossip or indulging in gossip. But I think it's important to say it the way I do, because we have to get past the illusion that gossip is harmless or inconsequential. I think it's revealing, in fact, when we refer to gossip as something that we indulge in, as if it was a sweet dessert that we're going to have, even though we've been cutting off sugar. I'm going to indulge in that chocolate raspberry cheesecake for dessert. Oh, it's harmless. I'm just going to indulge myself this once. But notice, that's how Solomon talks about gossip. choice morsels, juicy details about some gossip about another person. See, we are enticed by it. We're enticed by it. We're drawn in by it. You see this all the time online. And I don't know if you've ever noticed what they call clickbait. You go online, you know what I'm referring to? You know, it's a picture of some celebrity with an awkward facial expression, and the caption says something like, such and such's family finally confirms the rumors we've all suspected. You seen those? Or the one, remember such and such? Take a deep breath before you see what she looks like now. Or, here's the real reason so-and-so never works in Hollywood anymore. You see those little clickbait things all the time, right? If you know what I'm talking about, you've seen them. It's playing on that desire, that deep and foolish desire that we all have to hear something embarrassing or humiliating about somebody else. Website creators know that they can play on that enticement to get you to click on their site. And as soon as you click on the site, they get money. And so you'll see those all over the place. Why? Because it works. It gets people to click when they think they're going to hear some juicy gossip about somebody else. But the truth is that it's not just Hollywood gossip that we crave from websites and Inside Edition and Entertainment Tonight and all the rest. We are just as susceptible to indulging in that gossip about our own friends and family. A friend's marriage blows up, or one of their kids goes off the deep end, or somebody loses their job, or somebody gets into financial difficulty, and right away we just got to call and talk to somebody, right? Did you hear about what happened to her? Oh, did you hear that his wife left him? Oh, you'll never guess what I heard about so-and-so. His son went to jail for drugs. Now, Christians, we never do that, do we? Who said it? Somebody just said it. We call it a prayer request. Oh, we should pray for so-and-so because he got caught embezzling in his job. Oh, we should pray. Oh, let's pray. And of course, now we should be praying for each other, right? When we fall into that kind of distress, when we fall into one kind of calamity or another, we should be in prayer for each other. But isn't it remarkable how many of these prayer requests get shared all over your Christian circles and nobody prays a single time? Oh, we should pray, and nobody does it. Because why? You don't care about prayer. You just want another juicy morsel to go down smooth about somebody. You know what your rule of thumb should be? Here's your rule of thumb. You commit yourself before God that the next time you hear some enticing bit of gossip about somebody, you don't tell a soul about it until you've spent a solid hour in prayer for that person before you say anything to anybody. Because it's going to take the Holy Spirit at least that long to get hold of that lust by the neck and kill it dead before you can be trusted to share it with somebody else. And if you haven't taken it to God in prayer, and you haven't prayed for that person until you can feel their pain and you can be committed to guarding their dignity and loving them with the compassion of Christ, and you just spout right off and share that juicy story with everyone, you haven't shared a prayer request. You've committed the sin of gossip against them. And you need to stop. Solid hour. Don't breathe a word until you've prayed for an hour solid. You can call it legalism if you want, but I'm telling you, don't you dare. Scriptures are clear. Gossip is not harmless. Gossip is not fun. Gossip is not an inconsequential indulgence, because when our foolish mouths commit gossip, we are destroyed by it. That phrase there where it says that it goes down to the inner parts of the body, the words of a man's verse 8, the words of a whisper are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. That sounds more like the eating metaphor. That sounds more like the, it's delicious, and it gets down in there, and it feels good to digest all that nasty news about somebody. That's actually not what's going on in that verse. In the original Hebrew, the Puritan preacher Matthew Henry likens gossip. Literally what that means there, it's a gut shot. How many hunters do I have? What happens when you gut shot a deer? When you hear the phrase gut shot, it should make you cringe, because a gut shot deer can suffer for hours, if not days, before it dies. That's why I want you to see that about gossip. That's what the Word of God says about gossip. It's not harmless, it's not fun, it's not just juicy details that you indulge or spread. Gossip is an act of violence that you commit against someone else. It's destructive to the person that it is about, it is destructive to the person who hears it, and it's destructive to the person who delivers it. The world is littered with the corpses of gut-shot relationships that were torn apart by the sin of gossip, isn't it? You may think it's a harmless little tidbit of news you want to share. You may think it's no big deal to spread a little juicy gossip here and there, but God's word is clear. A foolish mouth that commits gossip can destroy friendships. It can destroy marriages. It can destroy a church. As we read from James earlier in our worship, that tasty, enticing little bit of gossip on your tongue can burn down your world. A foolish mouth will ruin you when you commit the sin of gossip. It will ruin you when you isolate yourself. It'll ruin you when you pervert justice. And verse 4 tells us one more thing that you will do with your foolish mouth. Your foolish mouth, and we said this earlier, it will reveal your heart. Your foolish mouth will reveal your heart. Verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. The idea of deep waters, in one sense, the idea our words often say far more about us than we intend. They're deep in the sense that they are hidden attitudes and feelings in the words that come out of our mouths more than we realize. Think about it this way. You can't stop deep waters from flowing. You can't stop deep waters from flowing. You may think you've dammed up your foolishness and your pettiness and your bitterness and lust and hatred, that they don't show up and nobody knows, but people can hear it in your words. Have you ever sat and talked to somebody and thought to yourself, oh my goodness, I would never say that out loud, right? I would never say that about myself. I'd never say that about so-and-so. Oh my goodness, I can't believe they just said that. That's an example of somebody so self-deluded, they think they've got it all hidden. They think they've got themselves showing to be a good package of a good Christian person, but you can hear it in their words. Oh my word, what did you just say? That's what happens. You can't stop deep waters from flowing. That pettiness and that hatred, lust, and bitterness would be plain as day to someone else listening. That may be what Solomon's after. In Proverbs 20, verse 5, Solomon says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding can draw it out. A fool doesn't realize how much his mouth is giving away about the condition of his heart. But the one who is wise, who understands the fear of the Lord, who fears God, can see right through the facade and can see the truth behind those fine-sounding words. Your mouth will always eventually reveal the condition of your heart. Always. So if you want to have a mouth of wisdom instead of a mouth of foolishness, if you want a bright, overflowing fountain of wisdom, as Solomon says here, to characterize your words instead of the murky depths of foolishness, God's word is clear, God, that a new mouth requires a new heart. A new mouth requires a new heart. Jesus said that in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. He said, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out in the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you look back over these verses in Proverbs, you see that you've been isolating yourself by your foolish mouth that only wants to be heard and never listen. If you've covered up for the wicked with your words, if you've committed the self-destructive violence of gossip against others, what is that telling you about the condition of your heart? What's that telling you that is in your heart? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have repented of your sin and the life you live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God who died for you, then can't you see that this kind of foolishness has no part in your life? If you're a Christian, This kind of foolish talk has no part in your life. To be the know-it-all who talks and never listens, to be the one who justifies or rationalizes the wickedness, to be the one who spreads the juicy gossip. Christian, you have no business letting that come out of your mouth. Jesus tells us, and James, as we read a few moments ago, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? A salt pond can't yield fresh water. Christian, you have no business letting your mouth bear the fruit of foolishness. Your mouth is meant to be a fountain of wisdom bubbling up from the freshness and the sweetness of the life of Jesus Christ living in you. Stop spewing the rotten sewer water of foolishness out of your mouth. You need to drop the arrogant pretension that refuses to listen to good counsel. You need to stop covering for the wicked with your words. You need to stop letting the righteous be denied justice by your silence. You need to stop committing the acts of gossip against your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't you dare gutshot this church with your gossip. The body of Christ here at Bethel Baptist Church, don't you dare gutshot this church because you love to pass on juicy details about somebody else's struggles instead of dropping to your knees in fervent prayer for them for hours before you open your mouth. If you're here apart from Christ this morning, you need to understand. And if you're talking to somebody that doesn't know Christ, they need to understand what Jesus is saying. Your mouth speaks what's in your heart. You can try to bear good fruit with your mouth. You can try to censor your words. You can try to carefully hide the darkness inside you, but it always comes out. And if you're trying to make a good show this morning, it's always going to come out. Jesus says in Luke 6, 43 and 44, no tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes. Grapes aren't picked from bramble bushes. Your words will demonstrate what kind of heart you have. Your foolish mouth will reveal a foolish, rebellious heart. Your words condemn you, but Jesus Christ is the word that saves you. Your words will condemn you. Jesus is the word that redeems you. When everybody else dismissed you as a wicked, contemptuous, disgraceful, isolated loser, Jesus Christ suffered the contempt of the religious leaders and the Roman authorities and was tortured to death on the cross for your sake. When you were providing cover for the wickedness of others and denying justice to the righteous, when you were rationalizing your own wickedness, Jesus Christ suffered the ultimate injustice, dying under the wrath of God for sins he never committed. When you were committing self-destructive acts of gossip against others, look at the slander that Jesus lived with. People spreading lies about his mother being a whore, suffering the worst ridicule, humiliation, and mockery of all as he hung naked and bleeding outside the gates of Jerusalem so that by his blood he could wash you clean from your sins of slander and gossip and make you pure and clean in his sight. Do you have that purity this morning? Do you want that purity this morning? Do you want that heart that overflows with the wisdom that starts with the fear of the Lord? That's why Jesus brings us here this morning, to hear this gospel, to hear this good news. Jesus cries out on John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus quoted Proverbs 18 there in John chapter 7. Flowing rivers of living water coming out of your mouth, because that's what's in your heart. A heart that has been cleansed from sin and shame. A heart that overflows with rivers of living water. Your mouth overflowing with a fountain of wisdom instead of the stinking sludge of self-destructive foolishness. If you want to know for sure and you don't know for sure, come on, we'll pray with you afterwards. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, that's what's in your heart, is the purity and the fresh, clean, bubbling spring of wisdom. So let that come out of your mouth this week. Not the foolishness of self-centered arrogance. Not the foolishness of trying to justify or trying to rationalize your sin. Not the foolish, stupid gut shot of gossip. But let your mouth show what is in your heart this week. And show that your heart is full of the purity. Your heart is full of the fresh, clean, new life of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, your promises are true. All of your promises are true. A foolish mouth will destroy us. But when we come to you for salvation through Jesus Christ, you give us life and you give us abundance and you take that sin and you take that rebellion and shame and that wickedness and the foolishness and you take it away and you give us your life. So I pray, Father, for every single person in this room right now with the life of Jesus Christ living through them this week, that it would inevitably come out their mouths. That it would come out of their mouths in wisdom and in purity and in joy and in peace. Father, that we would put away those sins of that arrogance of running at the mouth only to be heard and not interested in listening. Father, I pray that you would put away from us this week the self-justification and trying to rationalize our sin and trying to talk our way out of wickedness. But we'd confess, we'd be honest with you, with one another, and with ourselves. Father, I pray that if there is anybody here in the grip of that enticement of gossip, that you would put it away. Open our eyes to see the truth of what gossip is. Not a harmless little diversion, not just juicy details, but we're killing one another. And we will kill one another in this church if we gossip. So Father, will you open our eyes to see that truth? Will you speak through us, the life of Christ in us this week? May speak in a fresh new way. Father, may our lips, may our words flow as rivers of life flowing out of us because of the new life we have in Christ. Make it true of us this morning, Father. Make it true of us this day and on through this week, Father. May we be seen as men and women who speak that wisdom. The fear of the Lord that starts in our hearts and lives a life that shows that we belong to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that your word is true. Thank you that it tells us the truth about the world around us and it tells us the truth about our own hearts. Open our hearts to receive it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.